This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Local Heritage Month is a series of events which runs for the month of March, often but not always at the Palmerston North City Library. Manawatu People's Radio supports and records a number of those events. This talk was recorded at Boho Cafe. It was presented by Virginia Warbrick and it's called Horses, Soldiers, Families and Far-Flung Places.
Kia ora koutou, ko Virginia Warbrick, aho. Thank you for coming to our presentation today and for being here at Boho Cafe. And hello to those of you listening through Manawatu People's Radio in the future. So why am I here today to tell you about street names? My own name is Virginia. And the name of our rohi or region is Manawatu. So if you understand the story behind a name, you'll not only have a better chance of pronouncing it, you can also learn about the history of a place, of a people, of events that happened, or you can be introduced to cultural ideas, including changing preferences. So you may think about differently about my name when I tell you this. I'll read out what's at the bottom. Virginia, or probably pronounced Weginia. My mother was a Latin teacher, and she chose a name that was heard in the streets of Rome millennia ago. Dad was a chartered accountant, and I don't know that he had a say. Although at the altar he did add the name Urquhart into my name, and that's another story. Same with Manawatu, which I often hear on the radio as Manawatu. So when Honuiananaya reached our river, his heart sank or stood still at the thought of having to cross another wide river. So if you understand the story of Honuiananaya, you will understand that the name is Manawatu. Manawatu, heart standing still. And what's interesting about that name, it was given by this powerful tohunga, and that name has remained unchanged for centuries. So I'm going to tell you how this talk came about today. Something Warren and I did last year was eight times we locked primary school teachers into this space here. Does anyone know this building here? It's the schoolhouse at Te Manawa. And it seats about 20 adults, and then there's chairs for little children that are just too small. And we covered the topics that we have on the screen here, so place names, Māori stone tool technology, which is a specialist area of Warren's, the 1864 deed of sale, Harakeke and flax and the impact on our region, Huoroan music in terms of groups but also Māori tradition, the railway and timelines. And it's place names that we began with, and through that worked through with the teachers a whole range of place names, street names, park names, suburb names, to try and find the stories behind them. And that inspired the article you just heard about, putting mayors on the map. So we were going to write about some street names, and as we were writing and researching, decided we might focus on the mayors of Palmerston North. I think Grant Smith might be the 29th mayor of Palmerston North. And for the first 20 or so mayors, almost every mayor has a street named after them. You'll see a number of their photographs here. And it was this article that Riverstop saw in the newspaper and said, well, could you come and talk to us about the street names of this area? How many streets do you think there are between Fitzherbert Ave, Main Street, the racecourse area, and the river? Anyone want to take a guess? 80? Any higher than 80? 120? So by my reckoning, there's at least 170. Now, I can tell you now, I haven't got the... can't tell you about all of them, but I will share with you at the end the ones that we're still seeking information about, because there'll be people in the room who may have an idea about why certain streets have those names. Does our city already have a resource or a book or a website on the meanings of our street names? No. So the short answer is no, but this is the best that I think we have. And this is, on the left here, we have Sinclair Bradfield, who was born in 1892, died 1964. He came to Palmerston North when he was an infant, and he went to College Street School, Palmerston North High School, and he became a journalist. And he worked with the Manawatu Daily Times from 1925 to 1954. And it was at the end of his time at the Manawatu Daily Times that he put this work together that's on the right. So that's the total number of streets that he had a go at trying to describe why they had those street names. And it's a great resource for its time. There's a printed version on the second floor of the library, which you can go and visit. And they've also, the way I accessed it was on Manawatu Heritage. It's been digitised, so you can have a look at it online. But of course, it only goes up to the 1950s. And what's really important for this area is the boundary changed for the city around that time. So he does not include a lot of this area because of it was not part of Palmerston North when he did the work. So how did I go about trying to prepare and research for this presentation today? Well, there was no book on Palmerston North, but there's streets, but there's plenty on other towns and cities around the country. So there's a case for us to, over time, create one for the city. I used Manawatu Heritage. Are you all familiar with the Manawatu Heritage website? If you're not, that's your homework for today. If nothing else, is to visit the Manawatu Heritage website. It's hosted by the city. It has tens of thousands of mostly photographs, but lots of other documents as well. So not only can you find out about the city's history through Manawatu Heritage, you can also create a login and add your own materials. If you belong to a club, a group, if you have interesting school photographs, you can load them up yourself and send them through for a staff member to verify that they're Palmerston North related and not Auckland or overseas. But this was a really useful website, particularly with maps, and I'll show you that soon. Also, Archive Central, Ian Matheson Community Archive. This book, which a lot of you will be familiar with, The West End of Palmerston North by Gary Neal. I've got it here, so if you want to, after the talk, come and have a look, it'll be up here on the table. Also a book called Fire and Decay, which talks about the number of buildings around the country that burnt down, of which there were a number in this area, and a book called Abraham and His Seed Forever, which is about a family that was living on Park Road. So looking at maps, you'll see the green rectangle there. Anyone want to guess what that is? Te Marae Ohine, the square. And the reason I've added it there is I've got it on all the maps so you can kind of quickly locate where we are. Now, the orientation of the map, they changed over time. To start with, we looked in this direction. Then the city got tipped up 90 degrees, and that was quite common for a few decades. And then we now tend to look at it on the angle with north facing. So there's a few ways that we look at maps when we look at our city. The problem with maps is they quite often had things retrospectively added. So even if a map has a date, it may have had street names added afterwards. So maps can be a little bit unreliable. But I'll show you how I used maps just to help me with some of my research. So this is a map from 1872. This is the ideal. We didn't literally have those streets, but you can see that this is Fitzherbert. And this is Main. we're looking at this area here. 1895, so the boundary of the city is just in the vicinity of Botanical, just beyond. 1906, 1924, so you've had to tip these ones over to make them the same. There's an aerial photo of 1945, and what do we see is popped up in this photograph? Yep, really defining part of this area of town. 1968. And this is more usually how we see the city now, isn't it, on the angle of the north facing? Oh, that should say 1972. So I use the maps to try and understand the information in them, but by using the same graphic imagery. So here are the same maps, and each time the green streets have been added since the last map. So you can visually see the Awapuni, the part closer to Fitzherbert was slowly changing, and then there was much more rapid change here following that boundary change. So another resource I used is Papers Past. Who uses Papers Past? Well, that's your other homework. That's an incredible resource that the National Library holds. It's digitised newspapers, but also books and all sorts of things. But the newspapers for our area goes up to 1945. Now, that's really important when you think about Awapuni. It's a bit of a mismatch. But I've got a little snippet here. I'm not sure if you can all read it. It says, a wedding of interest to Palmerstonians took place at All Saints Church 2 p.m. yesterday when Lieutenant, remember that, Douglas Gifford Moore, son of Mr. and Mrs. Gifford Moore of Avenue Road, was married to Miss Ruth Ada Lassie Lyons, daughter of the late Mr. A.R. Lyons and Mrs. Lyons of Church Street East. And then they talk about what happened in the wedding. So I was, for some of these, more than 60 streets in this area are named after people, so I was able to use Papers Past to try and sort of confirm that people were living somewhere or what their names, who they were related to, or land transaction sales, that sort of thing. So that's Papers Past. So what were some considerations to try and put some limits or things I needed to be aware of while I was looking into this? Firstly, that these resources, while they're great, still have limitations for what we're trying to, present to you today. And that's why we had a crowdsourcing campaign. Did some of you see that in the library? And some, yep. So thank you very much to those of you who offered some information that you have about certain streets, that we were able to add that into the other resources I've just told you about. But even so, there'll be things I present today that you might think, I don't think that's right. So please come and see me afterwards, and I'd love to be corrected, because this is a piece of work that we'd like to continue to do more work on. So there was the boundary change, which meant for the maps, a lot of the Awapuni area was missing in the map, so we're not able to really know what was happening prior to 1950s. Was it achievable to try and work on all 170-plus names? Can we trust Bradfield's work from the 1950s? There's a couple of examples I show that maybe we could have a question mark. Are we going to look at who named the streets and how the streets were named? That gets a bit tricky. We have had street naming committees in the past through council. Do you know what we have today? I would probably describe it as not very transparent today. And that's in terms of naming new streets, but also the issue around when streets might need renaming. Other councils and district councils often have an online process, but ours is a bit opaque. So I think the council is working towards something that's maybe got some more rigour to it. But in general terms, you could say new streets, the names of new streets are heavily influenced by developers and landowners. And the other thing I considered was whether to spend literally hundreds of hours going through paper records from the 1950s, 60s, 70s in the council archives to read council minutes. And that's something I decided not to do, but it would have perhaps helped us answer some of the names at the end that we still don't have answers for. So I'm going to now share some of my findings with you. I committed to a title for this talk back in December, which I may have chosen a different title now, but for all intents and purposes for this talk, I'm going to go through the same order. So the title was Horses, Soldiers, Families and Far-Flung Places. So any idea about horses where we might be going with this one? So the area, particularly on this map above the racecourse, have strongly horsey-type names. Now, they are some of the newest streets in the area, and if, when they were being named, council or whatever processes were being used had said, what could we do from a heritage or cultural perspective, then there might be names offered like who ran the race course. Were there significant horses that won at the races? Were there particular events associated with our race course? But instead, we have the names of race courses from around the world. From the UK, the US, and Australia. So we have Newmarket, Flemington, Kentucky, Aintree, Doncaster, Caulfield, Cheltenham. And there are also streets called the Oaks and Grand Oaks, which I think are associated with horse racing, but and trees, and large trees. But we do have one street named after a horse, Carbine. Does anyone know much about this horse? So I couldn't establish whether this horse had actually raced at Awapuni. But that's not surprising because Palmerston North's often missed out in descriptions of people or events, even when it was an important part of their life. And I know this is a bugbear of mine, but Rita Angus, while she was born in the Hawke's Bay, she came here when she was only about 3 weeks old, and she went to our schools, she went to Girls High, and then she went off and had her art career. Girls High well knows that Rita Angus went to Girls High, but Palmerston North has missed out of her biography in her exhibitions of Wellington and other places. So it could well be that this horse raced here, but it hasn't been recorded in the information I could find at least. So Carbine was a champion New Zealand bred thoroughbred racehorse who won 30 principal races in New Zealand and Australia. Now Carbine was born in 1885, died 1914, so had a nice long life. And if you're curious, Carbine's mounted head and tail are in the collection of the Auckland War Memorial Museum. And here's an example of Palmerston North being missed out. So in Wikipedia it says Carbine's name is immortalised in the name of a road which runs through what was once the Sylvia Park Stud, Carbine Road. Now, for those of you who are into wiki events, you might like to add to that and say that there's a Carbine Road in Palmerston North. Okay, soldiers. Anyone know which era we might be focusing on for soldiers? So, I use this resource here, Poppy Places. Are you familiar with Poppy Places? So this road we're on here has a poppy on the road sign, just like this one here. Pitama. And we're looking at the streets that are roughly in this area. And I have the council minutes for this here. So, from the 7th of October 1964, the Street Names Committee, we did have one then. So, a meeting of the Street Names Committee was held Wednesday, the 7th of October, and it names who was present. The committee begs to report the following. That, as previously recommended, the committee considered the street names to be applied to the council's Awatapu subdivision in accordance with a supplied schedule of suggested names of officers and other ranks who served with the 28th Māori Battalion. The committee recommends that the streets in the council's Awatapu subdivision be named in commemoration of the following officers and men who served overseas with the 28th Māori Battalion. Now, what's quite interesting is this name doesn't quite match our street map. So we have Ditma, Wikerewhi, Manahi, Anaru, Ruha, Tapunga, Kāteni, Rangi, and Henare. So Rangi and Manahi we don't have, but we do have Pitama and Huata. Well, I think we're not on this original list, so there must have been some changes as they went along. So these photographs have been sourced from mostly the Auckland War Memorial Museum, who've got an online cenotaph. Are some of you familiar with that resource? An amazing resource. And it's through online cenotaph that I discovered something I'm about to show you. So these are the street names over this in this area here. While these were 28th Māori Battalion, associated with the 28th Māori Battalion, Ditma was not Māori himself, but he was thought to be an awesome leader for men in the battalion. Okay, so they're from World War II. World War I, we have Major General Sir Edward Walter Clervaux Chater. And that has that street's just off Fitzherbert. And he also has a street named in his memory or honour in Karori in Wellington as well. This is the one I find interesting. So it's through the online cenotaph and through papers passed, like I showed you before, we heard about the wedding of this young man, Douglas Gifford Moore. Now, I've put a poppy places over there because if you like making submissions or suggestions, you might like to suggest that he gets added to poppy places because he currently isn't, and yet he served. And I think that's the criteria for being a poppy place. That's something you might have an interest in looking into. Okay. So those are our soldiers. Our next category is families. Were streets always named after men? I think some of the streets, even the early named streets, you could consider families or couples being recognised. So like I said before, there are more than 60 streets who I think are named after people in the area that we're looking at. I've worked a little bit hard to try and find photographs or drawings of these people because I think it makes such a difference to put a face to a name. There are some that we're uncertain about. So like I said, come and see me if you've got some corrections. And I've put them into arbitrary groups, just that I'll explain as we go. And they could be grouped in a whole manner of ways, but here we go. So in this image here, from left to right, we have Kettle, Hartley, Buick, and Dundas. So anyone familiar with Kettle? So if you came to Warren's talk on Tuesday, we just realised this week we had this crossover between our two talks. Warren talked about the journey of Kettle up the Manawatū River in 1842 as a 21-year-old negotiating his way through each hapū. And the reason we know about him so much is he went back to Wellington and he published his accounts day by day in a Wellington newspaper. So Papers Passed is where you can access that and read about all of his, not only just trying to get up the river, but what he ate, how he was looked after, what kind of negotiations he had to make. So Kettle, some of you all know where. Kettle Ave? Yep. So we understand that Kettle Ave is named after Charles Kettle. Next we have Hartley. Anyone familiar with Hartley? Maybe. So Stephen Hartley or Charles Hartley. His kind of claim to fame is that he was the first Pāhiro white person to lay eyes on the clearing in this area in the 1840s. He became a translator and trader. He was living here in this area from quite early on, and he has many descendants in this area. Buick. So we understand that Buick Crescent is named after T. Lindsay Buick. And Warren gets very excited when we hear the name Buick, and I'll show you in a minute why. And Dundas is the chap on the left with his arms crossed in the light-coloured jacket. So both Dundas and Kettle were surveyors. So Charles Hartley is buried at Terracen Cemetery. I was there on the weekend for one of the cemetery walks. If you're interested, there's another cemetery walk this Sunday being run by Leanne Croon Hickman and Geraldine. Can't remember Geraldine's last name. But he's got a little piece of music on his tombstone at the bottom there. It is well with my soul. I won't sing it for you, but it's in four parts. But it does say on his tombstone that he was a settler and trader. Stephen Charles Hartley in 1846 was the first white man to set eyes on the Papaioia clearing in Heavy Bush, which later became the site of Palmerston North. And you can see from the photograph he's right next to the SPCA, that part of the cemetery. So this is what gets Warren excited about T. Lindsay Buick, is he wrote Old Manawatu. Are you familiar with Old Manawatu? Warren rates it as a book that you really must read. And if you can't get your hands on a copy, because it was written in 1903, it has been digitised, so you can read it through Manawatu Heritage. Thing he enjoys about it most is that the Rangitane informants, he thinks, were reliable informants to the writer. Okay, so here are people who... So the last slide was really these four. They all kind of had jobs to do or are noted for the things that they did in this area. In the same way you could say about these men. So I'm not sure, how do you pronounce this name? Does anyone live in this? Tingi? So Tingi was a city councillor for about 3 years in the 1890s, but he's more known, as you can see in the photograph, for being a fire brigade captain, which he was from 1883 to 1905, so about 20 or more years as a fire brigade captain. In the middle we have a photograph of the abattoir. Does anyone know much about the abattoir that was in the area? A little bit, yep. So on Maxwell's Line up towards Pioneer Highway. I don't know where I've put my notes. It was council owned and run through sort of most of the first half of the 20th century. And so there are two streets named in the area of the abattoir, one after Spillman, who's the man standing on the left, and the other after Carter, who were both had senior positions within the abattoir. Don't have a photograph of Carter. And then on the right there we have Fred Just. Now, some of you will know about the Just family. So they were involved with horticulture. Particularly Bruno Just had quite a significant career in horticulture in relation to kiwi fruit. And Fred Just, who was born in 1901, he purchased land in Cook Street in 1929, and he worked alongside his father till the 1950s. And he specialised in growing tomatoes, and his... the piece of land he had eventually there became Just Place. Now these are the kind of out of towners. Victoria, I mean, I probably should have called her Queen Victoria, but just sticking with giving the name of the street. So we have Victoria, which is a road through the Esplanade. Cook, not really sure how to describe him. You'll have your own version of what he is. Wakefield, similar, not good feelings for Wakefield these days, but involved with the New Zealand Company. Fitzherbert, who was a Wellington-based politician. And much more recently, Squires, which Bradfield says was Reverend Harry Squires, a Wellington City missioner. So I'm not sure what his connection is or why his name was chosen or who chose it, but that's Bradfield's theory. And he would have been of Bradfield's era. So if anyone has any insight into that, it's thought to be named after him. And then we have people with pretty important or leading positions in the city. So here's my argument for the Snelsons. Might be named after both of them. So Louisa was pretty significant in the things that she did to help establish certain institutions in the city. And George Snelson was mayor four times between 1877 and 1901 and was the first mayor of Palmerston North. Pretty insignificant little street, though, isn't it, for our first mayor? And as luck would have it, on the same meeting for naming the Māori Battalion streets, they also discussed removing that name and also removing the name... it's on the third sheet. I think maybe Nash Street, and they wanted to rename Main Street from the square through to Cook Street as Snelson Boulevard. And from sort of maybe the bus stops through to Memorial Park, something like that, Nash, the James Nash Boulevard, to recognise what, looking back from the 1960s, they must have considered as significant mayors. So Snelson, anyone know much about Robert Keeling? I think he's an interesting chap. He was the principal or head teacher of the first Palmerston North Primary School, and then he became what we would call now the CEO of the council. But back then he was, title's just gone out of my head, but he was the lead administrator for the borough council for quite a period of time. Ferguson was mayor for 1 year. This is where I started to have doubts about Bradfield's work. He was mayor 1885 to 1886, and he had been a storekeeper. He was born in Scotland. He lived in the city for, I think, less than 20 years. He went somewhere else to live and died. And Bradfield asserts that Ferguson Street, which is a pretty big, substantial street, was named after the mayor, Ferguson. Problem is, I have the benefit of papers past, and I can read old newspapers, which Bradfield would not have been able to do as easily. And Ferguson Street is named well in advance of 1885. So it's mentioned in the 1870s, so it's named after, I think, named after somebody else. I'm going to stick with him for now because that's what Bradfield's got. Then I came across Ferguson Street in Fielding, and I thought, oh, perhaps it's the same Ferguson, and it could be, but two S's. But that Ferguson would have fitted in a group like this one, being a kind of national-level politician. So, and he did visit Palmerston North in the 1870s. So more research to be done on that one, but I'm pretty sure this Ferguson's not our man. Hurley Street is thought to be named after this mayor, who was mayor for 1 year. And the photo on the right is not of Manawaroa. We don't have an accessible photograph of Manawaroa, but it is a photo of his father, who was Hari Dākina. And there is a photograph of Manawaroa at Rangamari Marae, at Rangiotu. If you get the chance to go there, you'll be able to see a photo of Manawaroa. Now, this is an interesting thing that we discussed with teachers last year around names that have their own meaning. So some people will look up Manawaroa and say, oh, that street name means like to have a brave heart or be stout of heart. And that is the meaning of that person's name, but it is named after a person. And so this can be the tricky thing around sometimes a name can be used in different ways. Okay, so here we are at Savage Crescent. So some of you will know some of the names of the streets that come off Savage Crescent come to mind. You may have had a look at the information boards on the corner sort of opposite the Lido. So this is how I'm going to describe them to you. I'm I mean, do I need to tell you much about Savage Crez? I think we know that it was a pretty substantial housing project in the 1930s. I'm just going to have to grab my glasses, sorry. Oh, that's much better. Okay, so it was designed by Reginald Hammond, who was one of the pioneers of the New Zealand town planning movement, and he'd studied in London in the mid-1920s. So Palmerston North itself was laid out in a rectangular street pattern, as we saw on that very oldest map I showed you. And so he was sort of taking advantage of that, but also trying to insert the ideas around the garden suburb by the form that he chose to create Savage Crescent. So people associated with that project at the time, we have three mayors here, and in order of when they were mayor. Frederick Nathan. Then we have Mr. Graham, I can't remember his first name, sorry, I think it might be James, and Gus Mansford. And then off to the side here, we have Joseph Hodgins, who was the MP for Palmerston North. So all of them have streets named after them coming off the main Savage Crescent. And then here was Hammond that I was just talking about, who was the Wellington-based director of housing. And, of course, the Prime Minister, Savage. But there's quite extensive information on those panels that you can have a look at next time you're in the area. Right, now we're up to families. So the Nairn family and the Slacks family, people familiar with them? There's a certain amount written about both families involved with the Nairn family with market gardening and the Slacks family having a large homestead in the area. Have you ever wondered what I think it's called Ranara Court, how it got its name? It looks a little bit like a Māori name, but we're not quite sure if it's kind of a made-up name. But it was the home of the Abraham family, and this is the house that was there. So we're looking at a plan, looking down on the house. It's a photograph of the house over here. This house was on Park Road. After they had both died, the house was actually burnt down, accidentally burnt down. And then the land was subdivided, and there's now, I don't know, five or six smaller houses on that piece of land. And rather than being called Abraham Court, which it could have been named after the family who'd lived there, it was named after the house that used to be there. So I've put them in the family section because it's really about this family home called Ranara. Also, College Street, Bradfield says, is in reference to the Wellington College Board of Governors. And there's no one really else that writes about College Street, so I'm not sure about that one, but more research to be done. Now, if you know much about Linton, you might have wondered why I didn't put him with the other mayors and leaders of the city. He was the second mayor of Palmerston North. But the fact is, he owned land over where in the area where Linton Street is, and it's named to do with his land activities, not because he was the mayor. So also on the list next to him are names that we know are associated with families who owned land and subdivided or named lanes or streets after their family names. So at the bottom here we have a little bracket of Moore, Thompson and Douglas. So we've already looked at Douglas, which was the street named after the young man who went to war, got married at All Saints, the lovely young lady. It was his father who named the street after Douglas, and his father named two other streets, all connected, Moore and Thompson. Thompson was Dougal Thompson, and I don't know what the relationship is with the family, whether it was a friend or somebody else who was in on the land. The names in green are names I think are family names or first names. that I'm yet to find out more about. So look closely at that list, and if you know something, come and have a chat afterwards. Christian, I've got a wee note here about Christian that someone's left. Mudgeway is a name that we know in the city, but not really sure how that's come about. Okay, and lastly we have far-flung places. Now, a wee caveat about this. Some people have surnames that are place names. So it's possible that some of these place names are actually surnames. But at this stage, we're going with the theory that these are all place names from the UK in some form or other. Sorry, at the back you probably can't quite see it, but I won't. It's a long list, so I won't. Oh, you can come and have a look at it later. What's that? Your Warwick Place. Oh, we're Warbricks. But when you look on Manawatu Heritage to see if there's any evidence of these names being family names, there was an event where in 1952, to celebrate 75 years of the borough being formed in 1877, here the army is saluting the mayor of Palmerston, Tremaine was his name. And the parade troop was made of a detachment of engineers, infantry and army service corps and was led by Major E.R. Firth. So could he be our Firth? Maybe. And Lewis, there was a Lewis and Coates timber merchant, Sachendorf Factory, Church Street, 1920. So this is the sort of research that we could do to try and look even more deeply into who's owning what land, at what time, piecing together with Manawatu Heritage papers past, some of these place names could be surnames. Place names from around Aotearoa, so I'll read this list a bit shorter. Akaroa, Coronet, Haast, Kapiti, Mana, Otera, Papakōwhai, Rakaia, Rakino, Taieri, Waiheke, and Whareti, which technically should be, these days, Whare Titi. It was a place where titi birds were caught. Is that right, Warren? Yep. So that's a typo. That's a historic typo. A couple of Italian places. Anzio Place and Capri Place. And then I've got in the bottom corner there, I didn't want to put the whole of the United States on a slide. Alaska Court. And this is my last slide. So we also have what we decided with the teachers last year of functional street names. They kind of say what they are. So we have Botanical Road, it's the road that leads to the Botanical Garden. The Church Street, which has churches on it. Main Street, it's the Main Street. Park Road again leads to the park, and the mayor, who was called Park, he's adamant that it was not named after him. Racecourse Road leads to the racecourse. Palm Drive has palms on it. Tip Road leads you to the tip. Then there are some Te Reo Māori names other than people's surnames and place names. So Tōtara, Nāheri, Nio and Pānako, or botanical type names or related to trees and plants. Puia, bird that was last seen in the Tararuas in 1907. And then Wainui and Moerangi. And then this is the last little group that we're basically just a bit stumped. We're not sure if they're place names. Google Maps and other mapping systems aren't bringing them up. They could be people's names, some of them, but not sure. So we have Bembo, Castle, Kramer, Drake, Escort, Grosvenor, Hill, Lane, Pitt. I mean, Lane could maybe be in this street, this list, couldn't it? Might look like a lane. Could be someone's surname, not sure. Raleigh, Rose, Sovereign, the Arbors, Viscount, and West. And the mayor, who was West, is also adamant that street's not named after him. A fun thing I discovered last year is Castle Court. If you dug a hole all the way from Castle Court to the other side of the world, it's only 50 metres away from a castle in Spain. So that's awesome location for that street, but I'm sure that's not the reason. So if you like taking photographs of things, this is the list that we need the most help with. The others, there may be new information that comes to light, but this is the kind of the area of most work that's about to be done.
You're listening to Manawatū People's Radio, Te Reo Irirangi o ngā tangata o Manawatū, and you've just been listening to one of our recordings of a local heritage event recorded around Palmerston North, probably at the Palmerston North City Library. If you would like to hear this again or share it with a friend, you can find it on demand at our website at npr.nz/show/heritage month.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.